Zoom today and next week, as the Lord wills. I need to begin this morning with an apology. I had every intention to be with you this coming Sunday morning, this Sunday morning, and to be also at Mountaintop Youth Camp this coming week. However, in May in Dubuque, Iowa, we had a week where it was incredibly hot and humid early in the season, much like it was last week for all of us. And I realized then that humidity and heat affects my breathing more than I anticipated. And so I checked with my medical team and my chief advisor, my dear wife, Katie, and we decided that I had said yes to too many camps. And so doing camps back to back and doing 6 weeks of camp this summer did not make sense, as I'm still recovering from COVID. Again, I appreciate so much your care and concern over these past 11 months. I'm doing incredibly well, still use oxygen at night, and still have a variety of challenges, but we are thankful for each and every day of grace and thankful to be able to do some camp ministry this summer and hopefully a full load next summer as well. I texted Israel Chavez, who's directing at Mountaintop this week. He's a dear friend of mine, and just shared how much I'm already missing Mountaintop, and we'll be praying for everyone there, those of you who might be going today. It's one of my favorite camps, and so I look forward to getting back there soon and very soon. So my apologies that we're doing this Zoom thing, but I'm so thankful for the technology that allows us to do this both today and, Lord willing, next Sunday as well. I need to extend my congratulations to dear friends, Bill and Marge Longstreet, on their celebration of 50 years. Much could be said, but I am so grateful for you both, your commitment to the Lord Jesus, the local church, to ministry, to one another and your family. You mean the world to the Glock family and to many. And so we say congratulations on your 50th wedding anniversary. Congrats from G-Force, our family, the Glock family. I also want to say happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to one and all. Often we don't have much to say on Sundays about Father's Day, but we are purposing to focus in on fathers today and next Sunday. Today and next Sunday, we love to celebrate Mother's Day, and I feel it appropriate for us to laser in on fathers today and next Sunday as well. And I have a question for all dads today, a question for all of us, and the question simply is this. We'll ask this question today and next Sunday as well. Are you strong? There it is. Are you strong? I remember in high school, I graduated from high school in 1987. And I remember in high school when we played football, there was a special coveted T-shirt that many of the guys wore. It had our logo, a Mustang, on it. And then it simply said 1,000 pounds. You see, there was a 1,000-pound club for certain individuals who could lift 1,000 pounds as you combined three different lifts, deadlifting, leg press, bench pressing. Could you lift 1,000 pounds? And everybody loved it when they earned one of those T-shirts, the 1,000-pound club. I have to confess, if I'm being honest, I never got one of those T-shirts. That was not my reality. I do think I had the 750-pound club, but no one wanted to wear that shirt when others were wearing the 1,000-pound club. So anyway, Everybody knew if you were strong based upon the t-shirt you were wearing. I'm sure you realize today I'm not asking you dads and everyone else by way of practical application how much you can lift, how strong you are physically. Rather, my question for all of us today is how strong are we spiritually? There's a verse we find in Jeremiah chapter 12. I love this verse. It's just the first portion of the verse, letter A, Jeremiah 12A, and it says this about our great God. He knows, he sees, and he examines our heart's attitude before him. Isn't that a comforting and convicting concept? Written, obviously, to the prophet Jeremiah to remind him of God's omnipotence, that he's all-knowing, that he sees, and that he examines our heart's attitude before him. Some of you are very familiar with the realities of the academic world, that in academia, there's a need to do assessments over a measurable period of time to evaluate, to have goals, measurable goals, and then determine the outcome. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we meeting those standards, those benchmarks, those goals? I used to be heavily involved at Emmaus Bible College, as many of you know, and I dreaded assessments. But a necessary reality, the need to assess, to look and see if you are doing what you're supposed to do, if we are being spiritually what we are supposed to be. And so on Father's Day, I ask the dads, especially today and next Sunday, are you strong? Are you strong in the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus? I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and our goal will be to cover the majority of this chapter, not all of it, I must tell you, not every verse, but most of these verses. And as we do so, we'll be seeing that Paul gives Timothy, his son in the faith, six goals, six measurable outcomes, six great examples, really, of what it looks like to be strong. We are living in a culture of chaos. We are living in the last days. Paul tells Timothy this in the next chapter, chapter 3. I know you are considering the book of Jude, which is so very relevant and practical for the day in which we live. Second Peter, Peter tells us the same thing, that we are in the last days. When we hear the last days, we shouldn't think few, but we should think final, that we are in the last days, the final days before God's next event in his eschatological timeline. And so we in the church age are in the last days, and we desperately, dads and everyone else listening today and Lord willing next week, we desperately need to be strong. But I love the balance we find in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, where Paul says this, "You therefore, my son," and he refers to him as his son in the faith. Perhaps he was with Timothy when he came to know the Lord, maybe with Timothy's mother and grandmother, when they also demonstrated sincere, unhypocritical faith. We know that Paul says of Timothy, we have a kindred spirit. He said that in Philippians. And so Paul viewed Timothy as his son, but as his son in the faith. And he says in verse 1, in light of everything I just said in chapter 1, in light of everything I just reminded you of, all that you already knew, Timothy, it was a reminder. Chapter 1 is all about what Paul wanted Timothy to remember. All that I just reminded you of in chapter 1, Timothy, I want to now challenge you to be strong. To be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. I love the balance here. I began to mention that surely Paul is saying to Timothy, you need to be strong. You need to be strong, but you need to also realize that strength comes from another. And we see that balance all over Scripture. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is not working for our salvation, but at it, so we might grow in his grace. But he goes on, Paul, in Philippians to say, knowing it is God who is at work, to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it's both and. Peter says, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. Right now, today, we have it. But then he says, be diligent to make every effort. And so there's this balance of our responsibility and yet the strength that comes from someone else. Divine enabling, divine strength. I have learned over the last 11 months how incredibly dependent I am on our great God. How we are dependent for divine help and divine strength and divine enabling. And so be reminded, and may I be clear in saying that even though Paul is saying to Timothy, his son in the faith, in this last will and testament, that he wants Timothy to be strong, he reminds him at the very same time that this comes from the sustaining grace, the unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the challenge. Are we strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus? As we know that our great God sees and he sees and he examines our heart's attitude before him, what does he see? Does he see someone who is consistently being strong in the grace that comes through Christ Jesus alone? And so we will see in this passage six different illustrations of what it looks like to be strong, six different measures or examples for us to all ask and answer the question, does my life look like that? Does that characteristic is that characteristic seen or displayed in my life on a consistent basis? Now, let me share one more thing about the pattern that we'll find in these six illustrations. We will see six of these, and each time Paul will say to his son in the faith, if you want to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus, it looks like this. Here's the example. And then he'll say something about the example. Here's what that individual is supposed to look like or supposed to do. Here's what that individual isn't supposed to do or shouldn't look like. And then finally, he will say, and here's what the results will be. Here's the reward, or here's the payoff, or here's the blessing that is ours when we look like this. When we do this, when we follow the example of what it looks like to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. There's a pattern for each of the six, and I'll try to deliberately highlight that pattern along the way. Also notice that, or we will notice together, that in the middle, right after the first three that, Lord willing, we'll see today, and before the last three, Lord willing, we'll see those together next week. Right in between, we have a reminder of who we are supposed to remember and what we are supposed to remember in order to accomplish these things. Paul is very strategic as he writes. And so right in the middle of these six measurable object lessons or illustrations for being strong in God's grace, in the grace that is found in Christ, he says, here's what this looks like, and here's what we must be thinking and remembering in order to accomplish such things. Before we look at number one, let's pray together, asking for God to help us again. Father, we thank you that we can freely look at your word without persecution in our country and land. We know that is not the case in other places. And so we praise you for the freedom and privilege to do that together today. I thank you for the technology that allows me to speak from afar to the saints and those who have gathered at Fair Bluff Bible Chapel. We pray, Father, today that you would take away distractions. We're busy people with all kinds of things going on, and we pray that you just help us to focus these next few moments together. We pray that all dads would especially, but all of us practically would ask and answer the question, are we strong? As we realize that, Father, you know, you see, you examine our heart's attitude before you. May we do the same this week and next. May we take a good look. May we assess and evaluate to see if we're displaying the marks or characteristics of what it looks like to be strong in the grace that comes through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So teach us what you want us to learn today. Help us, we pray. As we live in the midst of chaos, we pray that we might shine brightly in a dark and perverted culture and world, that we might display humbly, because of grace, these marks of what it looks like to be strong. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Paul begins in verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll notice I skipped verse 2, and I love verse 2. It's one of my favorites. It's really the pattern of multiplication that we can see that many have used as their theme passage for discipleship. 2:2 of Timothy, and the things which you have heard from me, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust those, Timothy, to faithful, able to teach individuals. A key verse for discipleship, a pattern that we can see. But for our purposes today, he begins in verse 3 by describing what it looks like to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Verse 3 says this, suffer hardship with me. Now, let me just say, this is not the first time that Paul has said to Timothy that he needs to be willing to join with him in suffering. And practically, so do we. We need to be willing to join with Paul and Timothy and those who have gone before us, those who are with us even now, to be willing to suffer. We'll be reminded that if you have a desire to be godly, you're going to suffer. In chapter 1, twice Paul says to Timothy, his son in the faith, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus or of me, his prisoner, but join with in suffering with me. In verse 12, he says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Suffering is a privilege for the believer. In 1 Peter, we see the importance and the encouragement, instruction to suffer well while doing the right thing. And so Paul, again, in similar fashion, like Peter, reminds us of the reality of suffering. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Illustration number one of what it looks like to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus is that of a soldier. That of a soldier. And I want you to think about what type of soldier is being described here. It's a good soldier, number one, and it's a soldier that is involved in active service. A soldier that is involved in active service. A soldier that is engaged in being and doing everything that he was taught to be and do. It's a soldier who is described as a good soldier, a soldier that is in the fight right now in active service. And so that's the first illustration that Paul brings our way. A soldier. In verse 4, he says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. So notice the pattern again, my friends. The pattern is this, the illustration of what it looks like to be strong in God's grace, and then a description of how that illustration should look. Here's what a good soldier looks like. A soldier that is in active service. He does not, so here's the instruction. Here's what the good soldier is supposed to pay attention to. The soldier does not allow himself to get entangled in the affairs of everyday life. Let me say this to you. While we look at these six illustrations of what it looks like to be strong, there will be a fair amount of conviction. There will be a fair amount of conviction, and rightfully so. The exercise for us as fathers, especially today and next week, a two-part message for fathers to be strong. But the exercise for all of us is to take a good hard look at our own lives and ask and answer the question, is that the way I look? Is that the way I'm living? A good soldier does not allow himself to be entangled in the stuff of everyday life. I feel terribly sorry for young people today. I'm involved in ministry with young people in a variety of ways, but they are bombarded from every direction with everything that has to do with instant and immediate gratification. All sorts of distractions, all sorts of entanglements. You'll notice that the author, Paul, does not mention sin here, much like the author of Hebrews, whomever that might be, when he talks about the race that has been set before us, and in chapter 12 of Hebrews, where he says, get rid of the things that slow you down. Get rid of the things that slow you down, not sin necessarily. He goes on to say, and the sin which so easily entangles, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Run with endurance the race that has been set before you, getting rid of the things that slow you down, and watch out for sin which so easily entangles. Paul here says, there is everyday stuff that we get caught up with, that we get entangled in, that sometimes even is not sin, but it keeps us from being singular in focus. You see, the good soldier has one singular focus. And we find out what it is at the end of verse 4. So that, why is it that we do not allow ourselves to be caught up with, entangled by all the distractions and all the stuff? So that, Paul says, you see it with me in verse 4, so that he, the good soldier in active service, may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Here's my question as before we move to the second illustration. My question for you is this. Do you, deep down, within your heart, as we've been reminded, God knows and sees and examines your heart attitude before him, dads especially, but all of us today, do we really want to please him? It's a serious question. Do we want to please, if you will, our commanding officer, the one who enlisted us as we are in the Lord's army? Yes, sir. Do we, as a good and active soldier, do we really want to please him? And let me add this aspect of that all-important question. Do we want to please him in all that we see, in all that we say, and all that we hear, and all that we think, and all that we do, is it our desire to be found pleasing to him? Paul warns us here, and he does in each one of these illustrations, and he warns us about the stuff. Not necessarily sin, it could be sin, and sometimes is sin, but the stuff that competes for the allegiance that we owe only to the giver of all good things. It would be appropriate, dads and all who are tuning in, to ask and answer, what is it that I am so caught up with that I am not as focused singularly on pleasing my commanding officer? What are those things that distract and that entangle? So there's illustration number one. More could be said, but we'll move on this morning. If we want to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus, Paul says, first, it looks like a soldier, a good soldier in active service who is not entangled, does not allow himself to be entangled in the stuff of everyday life in order that, so that we can be pleasing to our commanding officer. The next one moves into the athletic court or field. And so in verse 5, he says this, and also if anyone competes as an athlete. I was heavily involved in sports in days gone by. I still enjoy a round of golf from time to time, and perhaps some other things as strength and energy allow. But I do understand the concept of what it looks like to be an athlete and what it takes to be a good athlete, what it takes in regards to discipline and hard work. No pain, no gain was something my coaches used to communicate in all sorts of creative ways as I participated in a variety of sports back in the day. You'll have to take that by faith, but it's true. The necessity to work hard, to be disciplined as an athlete. Paul says in verse 5, and also, excuse me for my hands in your way, and also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So he gives us in the middle of the verse the outcome, the reward, the payoff, if you will, to being the type of athlete we are supposed to be. The payoff, the reward, is a prize. I don't know about you, but I have a very difficult time understanding a participation trophy. I don't get that. I know it's very popular today, but just because I'm on the team and show up, I get a trophy. I've heard of competitions for kids, grade school, junior high, high school, where they don't keep score. There's no balls, there's no strikes, there's no outs. And so there's been an emphasis in our culture today that everybody wins. Everybody wins. If you just show up and you get a participation award or whatever the case might be. This passage teaches us that there is a reward at the end of the competition. There is a prize that the individual athletes are given. He says it this way. If anyone competes as an athlete, you don't win. He does not win the prize unless, here's the catch, unless you compete according to the rules. We have in our neighborhood a pickleball court. Maybe you're familiar with pickleball. It is one of the sports that is taking the country by storm. It's a great sport. And my family, we try to play, my wife and our two children, every night. We try to go down to the lake, this little community gathering spot where they have courts and so forth. And we play pickleball. And in order for us to compete the right way, we all wanted to make sure we understood the rules. What are the rules? How do we play this game? And now we understand and we compete, I hope in a healthy manner, we compete according to the rules. According to the rules. God has made himself known to us in a very special way, hasn't he? He's made himself known to us through scripture, and he's made himself known to us through his son, the Lord Jesus. And in his word, we are given the rules. In his word, we are instructed in regards to how we are to compete. In chapter one, earlier in chapter one, Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, this, uses military terminology and says, retain the standard of sound words. You can see that in verse one. In chapter one, verse 13, retain the standard of sound words. And then he also says, guard through the Holy Spirit, another military term, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, this treasure, the treasure which has been entrusted to us. We have a playbook. We have been given instruction. We have been told how it is that we are to compete. There is an absolute standard that we are to follow, and it's found in God's word. And Paul says, listen, if you want to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus, compete according to the rules. And when you do, there's a prize that you will receive. If you take the time to reread this private, personal, pastoral, and practical letter from Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy, you will see on numerous occasions and other writings of Paul, this is true as well. He lived each and every day in light of future events. In light of what the future would hold, especially we see in Paul's writing the truth about the judgment seat of Christ for believers, that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers. And it's at that point in time that we will receive reward, blessing from the Lord Jesus based upon our stewardship, where he says, well done. And distributes, gives to us reward, prize for the way in which we have competed, if you will, as athletes. I'll remind you just very, very quickly of the Olympics from 1988. Perhaps you remember the Olympic Games in Seoul. And there was a sprinter from Canada. I can picture him even now. I had just graduated from high school. I was still very interested in athletics. And I remember watching the Olympics and seeing this sprinter from Canada that was enormous, far bigger and far more muscular, if you will, than most sprinters. His name was Ben Johnson. Does anybody remember Ben Johnson? Show of hands, nodding your head, perhaps. I remember Ben Johnson. He was huge. He was ripped. He was ready. He wore chains around his neck, and he bolted, not to confuse you with another Olympic athlete, but he took off when the gun sounded, and he set a record and received the gold medal. Later, what happened to Ben Johnson? That gold medal was removed because he did not compete according to the rules. And as a result, he did not receive the prize. Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, we need to be strong. We need to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. You want to know what that looks like? Consider the soldier who's singular in focus, who ends up pleasing his commanding officer. Consider the athlete who is disciplined and dedicated and hardworking and plays according to the rules, and as a result, receives the prize. The judgment seat of Christ, I'm sure Paul has in mind, but there's also reward and blessing for living God's way today, isn't there? There's blessing for today, there's reward for today, there's prize, if you will, today, and literally at the judgment seat of Christ as well. If my kids were tuning in today, they would hear me say in their presence once again this phrase, doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. Not just out of duty, but out of delight, knowing that our God, our maker, creator, has our best interest in mind. So it makes practical and real sense to do life God's way. Doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. Like the athlete who competes according to the rules, and as a result, he wins the prize. We'll take the time for one more, if you don't mind. Happy anniversary, Bill and Mort. One more example, especially for dads on Father's Day, but for all of us, of what it looks like to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. He uses the practical illustration of a farmer. I have such respect for the farming community. There are farms all over the state of Iowa. There are more pigs than people in Iowa. And we love seeing the farms and the rolling hills, especially, believe it or not, in Dubuque, Iowa. A hardworking farmer is what Paul has in mind here. I have a good friend. Some of you know him. His name is Steve Witter. Steve Witter grew up on a dairy farm, and he married a girl who grew up on a dairy farm as well. Farming is in both of their upbringings. And you know what is true of both Steve Witter, my dear friend, and his wife, Wendy Witter? They both know what it means to work hard. To work hard. To rise early and to go to bed late and to sweat. To work hard, to get after it. I love sharing with young people especially that work is God's idea. And work was in place in the garden before sin. Work is a privilege and work is a blessing. Sin makes it more difficult, doesn't it? But work is God's idea. God tells us very plainly, if you don't work hard, you shouldn't eat. There's a concept known as a work ethic. And work is a privilege and a responsibility. And there's such entitlement today. There's such expectation today that I should get this without putting forth any effort. It's such a challenging culture in which we live. And yet Paul says, I want to give you another illustration of what it looks like to be strong in God's grace. And he does so of a farmer, the hardworking farmer. I mentioned my friend Steve Witter, and Steve was in my wedding, and we did something rather unique at our reception, our wedding reception. We asked our wedding party to give us all a gift. Isn't that a clever idea? To ask your wedding party to give you a gift at your wedding reception. And the point of it was to give a gift, not necessarily of great monetary value, although that was accepted, but a gift rather of symbolic gesture. So those who have gathered at our reception might know the significance of the relationship of those who stood up in our wedding party. And so Steve Witter was in our wedding, and he presented to me a John Deere tractor. Isn't that amazing? He presented to me a John Deere tractor. Growing up on a farm, I guess he had extras. I don't know what the case was. A John Deere tractor that is on my bookshelf in my office. A model tractor, if you will, that represents a phrase that we shared with one another all the time to this day. I might be talking to him. He might be texting me. And he might say to encourage me, keep your hand to the plow. And I would say the same to him. Keep your hand to the plow. And so when Steve presented that mini John Deere tractor, he made a statement at our wedding to say one thing that John and I have in common is that we want to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. We want to encourage one another in kindred spirit to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with no turning back, to work hard at it like a hardworking farmer does. I know some of you know farmers. I know some of you have farming in your background, and you know what it looks like to picture a hardworking farmer. And there's something that they get to benefit from and celebrate in. Notice what it says in verse 6. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. There is a payoff. There is a reward. There is a blessing to the hard work. The fruit of your labor, if you will. Isn't it an amazing thing to put your hand to the plow, if you will, to roll up your sleeves and get to work and work as hard as you are physically able for as long as you are physically able, and to be able to look back over a day's work, a week's work, a month's work, years of work, and to see what was accomplished in and through you? Isn't that so very rewarding? Isn't it such a blessing to see the fruit of your labor, to receive the benefit, to receive your share of the crops? The outcome, the payoff of being a hard worker is that there is fruit of your labor, the first to receive of his crops. When someone does not have such a work ethic, whether academically, in the workplace, in the home, on the home front, in any capacity, spiritually as well, when laziness is the prevailing characteristic, they would miss out on the sweet reward of the fruit of your labor, the share of your crops. And so as we close, be reminded of this, that Paul in this grand chapter is suggesting to us and instructing us by saying we are to be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. And he gives us six illustrations with the measurable outcomes that will determine whether or not we are being strong. That's our question for today and next week. Are we strong in God's grace? But let me highlight just verse 7 in closing. We'll look at next week the parenthetical statement in between the first three and the last three, the secret to Paul's success and Timothy's success, what to think and what to remember. But here he says in verse 7, consider what I say. Would you please stop? And would you please think long and hard about this? Paul says, this is not easy. It's not easy to be like the soldier athlete farmer. This is hard work, and it's not for the faint of heart. So he says, please think about it. And I ask you if you'll join me this week, dads especially, happy Father's Day, but all of us, will we think about this week? Can we read all of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy in preparation for next week? Can we do what verse 7 says? Consider what I say and be encouraged by this truth, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Don't you love that? Be strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. We need to be strong, but there's divine help available. We need to think about this long and hard. The word consider is a mathematical term, an accounting term that says add up all the facts and then make a conclusion. Think about what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Consider what I say, he says, and guess what? The Lord will help you. He'll give you understanding in everything. He knows, our great God. He sees, he examines our heart's attitude before him. So our question for today and next Sunday is, are we strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus? In order to be that, there's proof in the pudding. In order to be that, that should be evidenced and seen. Let's ask God to help us as we consider such things. Father, we say thank you for today, another day of grace. We thank you that today we can experience new mercy. We praise you for that. We would pause now and pray for Mountaintop Youth Camp, those who are leaving, who are on the road now, who are heading to camp. We pray for all who are involved. We pray for those who are serving in any and every capacity. We pray for a great week of provision and protection. And we just commit this week to you at Mountaintop Youth Camp. Father, we would pray for the dads who are listening in now and will be next week as we consider Father's Day and what it means to be a good father. May we all ask and answer this question. Am I strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus? Am I singular in focus so that I might please my commanding officer? Am I one who is living and running my race according to the rules so I might receive the payoff, the prize, the benefit today and especially that day? Father, am I willing to work hard and put forth holy sweat to give energy and effort to the cause, realizing that our labor is not in vain as we keep our hands to the plow? We're the first to, or the recipients of, the fruit of our labor. As we think about these things which are convicting and challenging, may we think long and hard about it, being thankful that the one who gives us grace also will give us understanding in all these things. Help us now, we pray, to consider 2 Timothy in the week to come and what it really looks like to be strong. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.